Bibles, please, and turn to Luke. I'm excited to tell you that we've gotten up to 40 in the school. Not quite enough, but we'll take it. Amen. School starts the 26th. Parents are saying amen. Teachers are saying, oh me. Students are saying, oh boy. Now, graciously, we do not have enough money at all in the school to take on a teacher. We just don't have the money to have a full time. And I'm very pleased to announce my wife has offered her services to take over a grade for the school. She's going to be teaching third grade this year, and I'm excited about that. Miss Tammy's going to help us out, and for substantially less than any teacher needs to be working for, but praise the Lord, she's going to do that for us, and I'm excited about that. I think she's going to do a good job with those kids. But pray, we need another 20. We really do. Thankfully, we don't have a sixth grader this year. And because we don't have a sixth grader, then we can split off and just have one class, and that won't be so bad to work for peanuts for. But we're going to have that, and then a lot of work. There's a lot of work in the school, and a lot of people will be helping out, and I appreciate every part of that. But Bethel, we need to pray for that ministry. We need more students so we can have more finances. I hope you understand that. The Lord knows, and the Lord will take care. But I'm going to tell you, we need to have more finances come in, and we need to have more students come in so we can keep that running correctly. Amen? Amen. But I'm excited about what's coming up this next year. It's going to be a little bit different. I think last year, with everything that was going on, it was a little bit different, a little bit not necessarily up to my thoughts of how a school should be run. And this year, prayerfully and hopefully, it'll be a lot different. Prayerfully and hopefully, I'll be able to watch over it a little bit better than I did last year. And I'll take all the blame on my part for the things not going exactly the way they should have gone. But this year's going to be a little different. I hope you pray with us that it'll go correctly. Amen? This is not anything that happened on the teacher's fault. It was Brother Dave, and I'll admit that. But this year's not going to be the same, prayerfully. So pray for that, all right? Ministries are difficult. Ministries are difficult. Not ministries are great. It's the people that make it difficult. But it's all right. It was on me. That's the way it is. But praise the Lord. Pray for your school this year coming up. I'm excited about it, and I think it's going to go very well. I think the Lord's going to bless. Got a lot of new folks coming in, and I'm excited about it. So take your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 4. Let's all stand together. We're going to read verses 16 through 22. Verses 16 through 22. The Bible says, "And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.' And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, 'This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears.' And all bear him witness, and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, 'Is not this Joseph's son?'" Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Brother Bobby, could you lead us in prayer, please? Amen. You may be seated. The title of the message this morning is, "What Do You Hear?" What do you hear? This passage is Jesus Christ standing up in the synagogue and reading what he wrote. I'm always amazed by this. I'm always amazed that he could have quoted it. He wrote it. Everything he said was the word of God. Because he's God. So everything he said is the word of God. Stands up and he reads the passage. And at the end, the people said, boy, those words are gracious. We as Christians, I'm not going to talk this morning about that little fiery ember that we have inside of our mouths called a tongue. I'm not going to talk about how words hurt people. But they do. I've done it. Oh, I've done it. I've hurt people. I regret so many things that I've said over the years. In a moment of anger, and you can justify anything you do. Oh, I was mad, having a bad day. Yeah, wonderful. But you know, at the end of the day, whether you're having a bad day or not, it hurts. And you grow up hearing sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. But that's the biggest pile of hooey you'll ever hear in your entire life. Because words hurt people. And you got to be careful with those thoughts, because I'm going to be honest with you. Out of the heart, the overflowing of your heart is what you say. So be very, well, I was a fit of anger. No, all you did is make your pot boil, and what was in that pot is what boiled. If you boil water, what are you boiling? Water. Thank you, Lance. All right. He's ready for school. Raise your hand when you speak. I'm just kidding. Don't be surprised when you say things that you mean. And then you try to tell people you didn't mean it. I've done it lots of times. Lots of times I've chase people out of this church because I can't keep my mouth shut. Hey, oh no, I'm the only one, right? Praise the Lord. I'm glad that I'm telling you my faults and I'm the only one. But I'm not going to talk about that today, although I think that, honest to goodness, you need to really watch what you say. Me too. I still, even to this day, so long into this, you would think that I would get a hold of that. You would think that I would be able to say, no, not today. I'm not going to do that today. But it seems like throughout the day, I'll just wham, oh, there it is. Boy, you're an idiot. And there's nothing wrong. Listen, we're all sinners. Every one of us is a sinner. Please don't take this wrong. Every one of us is a sinner. Do you know what that means? That every one of us is a sinner. Now, well, that's profound, right? You getting ready to write that down? Every one of us is a sinner, which means every one of us is going to do something that's not so good. Help us now. You were with me until 2 seconds ago when I called you a name. But the problem is, somewhere along the line, somebody's going to do something you don't like. And because you don't like it, if I was doing it, this is the way I'd do it. Because I'm the greatest ever. No, you're a sinner. Well, he talked about me, but no, you're a sinner. And yes, you're a sinner, but understand this, you're talking about other people's sins. Don't you have some? If you would look in the mirror, how many names could you call yourself? Huh? But I'm not talking about that today. I'm not talking about that. I tell you what, you want to tear up a Baptist church real quick, talk about each other. You want to talk here? No, let me rewind that a little bit. You want to tear a Baptist church? Tell truth about each other. You say, well, telling truth is good. Is it? I don't want to know what I look like in this suit. I don't want to know what my waistband size is. I don't want to know that. Husbands and wives all throughout the years have learned not to talk to each other when they say, how do I look in this dress? I want the truth, you liar. Yeah, you want to break up a church, you want to tear people up, you want to talk about your friends, well, I'm just telling truth. Yeah, that's no excuse for telling it. By the way, I'm preaching to me now, but I'm not preaching about this morning. At all. I'm not, just disregard this first part. I'm just saying to you this. Yes, it may be true that I may be an idiot. It may be true that I've got problems. It may be true. But you know, there's times I don't want to hear that. Now, maybe I need to hear it, and there are people that need to tell me that, and there are people that need to give me the truth. And now we're going to get into what I'm preaching on this morning. But understand this. A lot of us need to remember that we need to count to 10 before we say something. And let me help you out. If you need to count to 10, you probably shouldn't say what you're thinking about saying at 1. I can't believe she wore that. If you'd count, you wouldn't come up with that because she can't believe what you're wearing. You're getting the point. Amen. You're understanding what I'm trying to say to you? That you're in one of the greatest churches in the whole wide world for people loving each other. And we do. We love each other. We care about each other. And the bad thing is we know each other. We know a little bit about each other's lives. And if you come here, you're going to have to let people know a little bit about you. We're crazy, nosy people. I don't like a church that's nosy. Well, you're in the wrong place because we care about you. We want to find out about you. We want to help you. And we're doing that to help you. The problem with that knowledge is power. And this is the power to take people out. I know his history. Thank God we just go ahead and preach what our history was. We don't have to worry about it anymore. I know where he came from. I know where I came from. And that's why we have a friendship, because we came basically from the same background. I could go around talking, well, Brother Mommy, he was a drug addict when he was a drug addict. And I could tell you all about that. And it's the truth. But you know what? Sometimes the truth isn't necessary. Boy, that's hard to hear from a Baptist preacher, isn't it? Sometimes silence is pretty good. You know, that you can hold in what you feel about somebody. It may be truth, but you can hold that in, you know. And by the way, if you got a problem with somebody, come here, son. I got a problem with you today. I could go, and by the way, I haven't even got to the message yet. Hey, listen. Oh, you want me to come? Look at Lance. He wanted me to take him up. I don't know a lot about this young man, but I could go ahead and tell you some things about him. Is it necessary? Huh? Is he a sinner? Am I a sinner? Did he mess up once or twice in his life? Sure he did. I want to know a little bit about him. Why? So I can help him. So I can help him get through some things. I got a problem with him now. Boy, I got a problem. And I know, boy, I'm going to tear this young man up. Now, I can do it in public. Somebody help me. But if he stands here, stay here. Come here. Now I'll pull you up. You wanted me to talk to you anyway. He's got the problem. I'm showing you something if you listen. He's got the problem. If I tell him about his problem, let's say that's true. Let's say it's true. He's wearing red shoes. I got a problem. I don't have a problem with red shoes, by the way. Don't go out of here saying I got a problem with red shoes. I can see you all doing that. Brother David, red shoes. All of you pulling your feet underneath the chairs right now. Don't see my red shoes. But if I go and tell him, did you see his red shoes? Are you catching the illustration? Wait a minute. Wait, it's true. There's a problem. Is this helping the problem? No. Do you know why I'm telling him about his problem? And this is true every single time. And don't you dare try to change this to anything different. Do you know why you tell somebody about somebody else's problems? Do you know why? Because you want to look better to them than that person does. Oh, no, you can say that's not true, but search your heart, you know it. It's like going down the highway and there's a wreck on the side. Glory to God, I'm not in that wreck. Have you ever thought about the people in the wreck? I'll never forget. We were on a field trip. Off the side of the road was a person under a blanket, completely covered. You know what that means. So do I. One of the kids. Said, man, I think we ought to pray for that family. Wait a minute. Didn't ask, was it drunk driving? What was the problem? You know, by the way, I get a little bit sick of this. I'm not to the message yet. Maybe this is what the Lord has today. I don't know. I'm going to stick with him. Amen. You know, why don't you quit trying to find the blame? Huh? yeah, he's got a problem. But you know what? I got to be honest with you. I'm sick and tired of trying to find out whose fault it is. Here's the problem. The problem's here. The fault isn't relevant. Oh, yes. This is America, buddy. In America, we find out what's wrong and how to fix it. No, just fix it, moron. Let's worry about why it's wrong later and try to fix it then. Well, not everybody in the whole wide world is mad at each other. I go over to Lance and I tell him about Curtis's problem. Is that the way I ought to do it? No, sit down. Quicker. No. Curtis, quit wearing red shoes. Is this the way to do it? No, why? Do you know why? Because it's in front of everybody. What's the matter with you? Curtis? We're pretending. Did I take Colton in that back room to tell him about Curtis's problem? Huh? This is the best church in the whole wide world. Yet we'll have this from time to time. People cannot wait. And I hate to say it, ladies. You cannot wait. That's why I'm putting glass doors on everything. Honest to goodness. You can't wait. Did you see what she was wearing today? I cannot believe that she was wearing today. I'm going to tell you, if I was her, I wouldn't wear that skirt. That is entirely too tight. Good night. What does she think? She is a teenager? That's unbelievable. I agree with that. You look good in your dress, though. It's funny, but how many times have you gone downstairs and the Sunday school rooms are closed? Help me. How many times have you gone downstairs, boy, and then people right now are slinking back in their chairs because they know I'm after you? I got to be honest with you, I'm not after anybody. I just want you to know what you look like. Let me tell you something. Everybody in this room is having a bad day. Did you know before I told you that Brother Tom was in the emergency room twice last week? Did you know that? He's probably having a bad day. I don't think it's our time to go ahead and say, Brother Tom, I don't like your shoes either. Amen? This is what you've got to understand. We're all sinners here. Every single one of us has blemishes. Whether you like that to believe that or not, whether you see that in your mirror every morning or not, it's all irrelevant. The Bible says every man's a sinner. We're all sinners, come short of the glory of God. And by the way, I fall victim to this all the time where I get to that point where I think that I got something better than somebody else has. I don't have anything better than anybody else has. I'm a sinner. So are you. As we're looking at this, though, I want to reverse the tables. I know, and I think it's good preaching to talk about that. I think it's good preaching to come to the realization that, no, you shouldn't just let stuff slip. If you see somebody having a bottle of alcohol in their hand, I think you ought to try to take care of that, and you ought to try to help them through that point in their life. But understand this. I don't think you ought to do it in front of everybody. I don't think you ought to go over to Sister Watson Fuss and tell her all about it so she can spread it in the bulletin throughout all the people. What I think you ought to do is take them in a back room and say, listen, do you have a problem with alcohol? I'd like to help you through it. I used to have one too. Instead of just going to them and say, you ought not. I know you ought not. What did you do when you was doing it? Aren't you glad you came? I find this interesting. That this, by the way, this is talking about Isaiah 61:1, this Old Testament prophecy being fulfilled in your ears. That verse is Isaiah 61:1, if you want to look that up later. Brother, I believe it was Lester Roloff used to read that every single time before he would get up to preach. Do you know why he read that every time? Because he wants to know who he's preaching to. I believe Jesus covers about everybody here. Look at this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And by the way, if you're preaching without the Spirit of the Lord, stop preaching. I'll never understand a preacher saying he's not called to preach. I'll never understand that. I'll never understand me just admitting right off the bat, Jesus got nothing to do with me. I'm just standing up here trying to be good. Never understand that. Either you're called to preach or you're not called to preach. If you're not called to preach, sit down. Amen. Quit acting like you're called to preach. Sit down and don't preach. This is important. The Spirit, whether like it or lump it, good or bad, I'm called to preach, and you got me. Amen. Woohoo! The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and I know it's upon me. I've got nothing to offer. I'm a sinner. I've got nothing to offer about Jesus, but Jesus can preach through me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Well, we ought to be preaching to poor folks, so you ought to realize when you're in the pulpit who you're talking to. There's going to be folks that are poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted. You're going to be preaching to people that have broken hearts. Is there anybody like that today? I bet you a lot of folks. I'm not going to have you raise your hand. I bet you a lot of folks are here that are brokenhearted today. Please know this. You're in a room full of people just like you. If I went down every one of your histories, I can just about find a spot where your heart was broken. I can just about find a spot where you had to be comforted. I can just about find a spot where you needed somebody to help you. Everybody has had that sometime in their life. And not one time was it fun. But you went through it so you can help somebody else. And that doesn't give you much solace either. But that's what you need to do. To preach deliverance to the captives. You ever seen somebody captive by sin? I'm a sinner, but I'm not captive to it. I'm a sinner, but it no longer has a ball and chain on me. I'm a sinner, but it's not taking me anywhere. I go willingly when I sin. So do you.
The devil made me do it.
No, he didn't. You sprinted there. You say, well, brother, I think you're missing farm. My old flesh crept up. If you're saved, you've got power over that flesh. We do what we want to do. Preach deliverance to the boy, you see somebody get delivered from that captivity. Oh, my goodness, that's wonderful. Recovering of sight to the blind. And I'm not talking just physically. Being able to see what Jesus wants you to see. And to set at liberty them that are bruised. I look at that verse right there, and I know I'm getting it. This is all foundational stuff. I don't care what time it is. Listen to me. To set at liberty them that are bruised. That's talking about the folks that are guilt-ridden. I'm one of them. Take this for what it's worth. Throughout my life, I've helped to ruin other people's lives. Didn't want to, but I did it anyhow. Didn't mean to necessarily, but it still happened. And you may be one of those people that are bruised, that are, I just talked to somebody the other day, I've had a bad experience at church, and I'm going to be honest with you, you'll have them because we're all sinners. You're not going to walk into a church house. If you've been looking, if you're looking for the church that has not one hypocrite in it, you're not going to find that until you get to heaven. On this side of heaven, there's boatloads in every church you go to. Boatloads of people, and preachers are one of them. Live this way, and then we'll go out and we'll do exactly what we're preaching against. We'll do it. Well, but sister, what's in fussing, blah, blah, blah. And you didn't want to do it, but you did it anyhow. Ran right to it, did the sin. And he said, well, that preacher's hypocritical. So are you. See, the whole problem is we get, always gets me in the way. Me, 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 me. How good am I? I'm not very good. So it's easy for me because I'm not very good. And I try to know that. That way, if I keep that in my mind, I can help to set free people that are bruised, people that have bad pasts, people that have gone through things that I've not went through, people that have gone through things and they're hurting and they're sad, and that bruise is deep and it still hurts. It's that bruise that you can still function with, but boy, you know it's there. And I'm going to tell you, the preaching of the Word can help to heal that bruise. The preaching of the Word can help that to go away. Say, well, somebody hurt me in the past. I'm going to tell you, the only way to get rid of that bruise is to forgive them. And you're going to have to do it over and over and over again, because forgiveness isn't something that just you can forgive. And because you're so great of a Christian, you can forgive one time and it's all over. I forgave you and I forgot about it. Then why did you just mention it? I've heard that preaching. I'm going to tell you right now, I've heard people say, very smart people say, well, unless you forget, then you truly never forgave. Then you're an idiot. Because you get to live with that bruise the rest of your life. You're never going to forget it. And if that's true, then why did the Lord say, Natalie, over and over again, how many times should I forgive my brother? 7 times? Why would you have to forgive him 7 if you could forget the first time? I'm not the smartest man in the whole wide world. The king of profundity, that's what I am. Simplistic. If he said you had to forgive 7 times, then you can't forget the first one. But no, Jesus went further than that. 70 times 7. Well, 70 times 7, that's 490 times, isn't it, Austin? 7. I rely on him for my math. You can ask him. Last year, I felt so bad. He was in math. I didn't know. I didn't know. What is this, brother? I don't know. Go talk to Austin. 70 times 7, 490 times. Well, Lord have mercy. That does away with the whole doctrine of forgetting. Why? Because it's going to come to your mind again. What have I done to you? What have I said to you? Keep forgiving me. What comes up and you get mad. Forgive again. Forgive again. Forgive again. Forgive. Keep forgiving. Why? Because I'm going to see, that's the dumbest thing ever. I'll get rid of that whole rumor at the same time. Let's say somebody comes in and steals out of the offering plate. I forgive you. Are you going to let them take up the offering? Wait a minute, Christian. You're supposed to forgive and forget. If you forgot that Lance took this envelope out of the offering, then he should be able to be usher every day. He should be able to take money out every day. Why? Because you'll forget. Because you're good Christians. That's like letting a pedophile alone in your house to babysit your kids. Right. Well, you're not. Never. Why? Because you can't forget. And you ought not to forget. That's the dumbest thing ever. Let God take care of the forgetting. He read gracious words. All of that I came to, having you be careful of what you say. Be careful of what we do. We do. We. Not you. We. Us. Okay? What do you hear? Let's flip it around. What do you hear? Wait a minute. He preached to these people. I just mentioned the list. He preached to the poor. What did they hear? At the end of this passage, they heard gracious words. Amen? They didn't say that they went out rich. They may have went out poor, but they heard gracious words. Say, well, wait a minute, I don't have a lot of money, and if I don't have a lot of money, I'm not welcome at Bethel. Well, let me tell you something. If you have a lot of money, I'd like to know who you are. I need a loan. Actually, a gift would be better. My repayment history is not very good. But preach to the poor. But the poor didn't walk out mad that he preached to the poor. He healed the brokenhearted. He knew who they were. He knew they were brokenhearted. They may not have liked everything they heard because Jesus tells truth. See, when you preach, sometimes preaching hurts people. That's why, I opened the door and shut the door. See, you may think, oh, that's horrible. That's horrible. I never do that last week. But I talk about this back here. What do you hear when I talk about that? What do you hear? Do you hear that I don't know what I'm talking about? Do you hear that I'm just picking on you? What do you hear? See, they heard gracious words. Not everything you hear you might like. But that doesn't mean it's not gracious. You think gracious, you're just coming in here and you're going to hear Joel Osteen all day. You're going to hear Robert Schuller. Jesus loves you all the time, and that's all we ever talk, and he does. But you know what? Loving your child is more than just hugs and kisses. Loving your child, loving each other is more than just hugs and kisses. It's more than just Hallmark greeting cards. It's more than that. Sometimes you've got to know what you're doing wrong. There's a way to do it. And we mess up on that a lot. But when you get scolded, what do you hear? I got to be honest with you. When I first started preaching, I don't know of anybody else. I've been here for 20 years. I don't know of anybody else that preacher has called out from the pulpit but me. It was right when I started preaching. And by the way, he has every right to do that. He can call me out every day if he wants to. He's the preacher. Let me help you a little bit. If the preacher tells you something, he has a right to do it. He's your pastor. I love the authority thought. Well, preacher, I'm going to listen to you as long as you're speaking well of me. But when you tell me something, you no longer have any, you're not my authority anymore. You know, a preacher has been put as authority. Whether you like it or not, your pastor is your authority from God to you. You should treat him as such. He calls me out from the pulpit because I made fun of a word in the Bible. I can't think of a better reason. He calls me out. What? Now, here's the thing. What did I hear? Help me now. Don't go away from me right now. You think you might think I'm being mean. I want to know what you hear when you hear scolding. What do you hear? Do you think that preacher, do you think that Jesus Christ stood up there and just said, everything's all right? He took tables and turned them over and chased out the money changers out of the church house. What did you hear? When I sat in that pulpit at first, I was mad. Well, wouldn't you be? How would you like to be standing up there preaching? You sit down and say, son, you stink. I mean, he didn't say that, but he was very close. I'm his son. Whatever. I sat there, whatever, and I took it. And people, that wasn't. And maybe, you know what? Maybe. But you know what I heard at the end? I heard words of a man trying to make me better. I heard words of a person that was trying to tell me that this is not the right path. What did you hear when I talked about gossip? What did you hear? Did you hear, I'm mean to you? Or did you hear gracious words that's trying to tell you you shouldn't do those things? What did you hear when you heard discipline from your daddy? I'm sure you didn't like it too much. My dad was just good at it. And my mama was the one that whipped me. But my dad, he had this way about him. To this day, I'm 43. He looks at me that way, and I still get mad. He would tell me if I do something bad, he'd say, son, I want you to go in your room, and I want you to think about what you just did. Now, understand this. I'm going back to the... Now, we were poor, okay? There was no Xbox or TV. There was no action figures. In my room, there was carpet and clothes. And we were glad to get the carpet. We didn't have anything. So when I went to my room, I did nothing. You send your kids to their room, they're going. What do they care? They're there most of the time playing Xbox anyways. The room is no punishment anymore. Make them a concrete block wall that they can just go sit in front of for a while if you want to punish them. I tell you what you ought to do is take something, I whip their little hind end and let them know they did wrong. That goes over well every time. What words are you hearing? Are you hearing words that can help your life? Are you hearing gracious words? Because I'm going to tell you, my father-in-law has been hard on me all these years. And I'm glad of it. I'm glad of it because he didn't blow smoke to me. This is what you need to do. And I could have taken it either way. I could have said, you know what, you're a jerk, I'm out of here. But I said, you know what, he's trying to teach me something. I took those words as gracious words, not words of demeaning, not words of... What words do you hear when somebody tells you, takes you off to the side and tells you you ought not wear red shoes? I don't care if you wear red shoes. Color of shoes. Things that we fight over are ridiculous. I hope you know that. What shoes? Who do I care what shoes you wear? Feet are ugly. Oh, boy, feet. Whew. You got pretty feet. I hope you keep them covered because your toes are nasty. See that? What words do you hear, though? Blessed are they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Now listen, I'm not saying that you should not be offended at somebody gossiping to you or about you. And by the way, Lance, if I was ever to come up and talk about somebody else to you, you know what your first thing you ought to do to me? Let's go tell Curtis. Huh? Yeah, let me show you what's going to go over like a lead balloon right here, right now. Let me show you this, because you'll never do this. This takes guts. This takes Christian. This ain't mature Christian. This is grandpa Christian. This is so far Christian, you're white-headed here. Instead of talking about my preacher behind his back. Don't ever come to me and talk to my dad about badly in front of me. Don't do it. I'll lose my testimony. That's horrible. It'll be worse for you. Curtis has red shoes. Oh, really? Let's go talk to Curtis about the red shoes. Because why are you talking to me about the red shoes? I don't got no red shoes on. Let's talk to Curtis about the red shoes, preacher. You want to talk to somebody about red shoes? Let's talk to Curtis. Curtis, stand up. You say to Curtis, Curtis, preacher would like to tell you something. And you're going to sit there and go, No, wait, sit down. Now you can get mad, go ahead and sit down. You get mad at Lance. Because you would. You'd get mad because you don't want that. See, you want somebody just to hear you. Okay? But Lance is trying to give you gracious words. You don't like it, no fun, but it's still gracious words. What do you hear? You should hear that Lance is trying to tell you, one, by the way, if Lance would ever do that, nobody'd ever gossip to him again. I've done it. I've had people come to me and I'd say, okay, let's go talk to preacher. Whoa. I mean, why don't you just tell him for me? Can I tell him you said it? I love people that write my dad letters. Me too. I get them all the time. All I got to do is preach about how being a homosexual is wrong. I'll get a letter all the time. You know what? Take it up with God. Write him a letter. Because God wrote you a letter that said it's wrong. I just threw that in for your benefit. But he signed me a letter. How many people signed their names to him? Wow, you're a rotten, horrible, rockin' a blank preacher. You ought not preach against a homosexual. Jesus loves them too. And by the way, he does. Well, you'll never one time hear a preacher say that he doesn't love the homosexual crowd. He died for the homosexual crowd. It's the sin that is an abomination to him. Look it up in Romans. So that all being said, blank, and they send it, no return address, no signature. You know what, you sissy girl? Sign the letter. Or boy. What do you hear? Do you hear gracious words? Do you hear words that will set you at liberty? I'm going to tell you, you got somebody that does drugs and you take them off to the side and you try to help them through their drug problem. You're giving them gracious words. It may sound like scolding, but it's gracious words. You try to take a homosexual off to the side and tell them homosexuality is wrong. It's gracious words. It's gracious words because God's not pleased with that. Now, if you go up and say, hey, everybody, guess what? This young man's a homosexual. He ought to change. That's horrible. Why would you do that to somebody? Are you kidding me? That's not the way to do it. Everyone was wondering anyway, son. I was just trying. That's horrible. You would never do that to somebody. But be strong enough and be Christian enough to take them off to the side, understanding this. And if I tell you, I can't get off, whatever. God, I'm just going to do what you want me to do. I'm going to tell you, When you take them somewhere and you try to tell them what they're doing wrong, take them with the knowledge that you're doing wrong too. Don't take them with the thought, well, I'm self-righteous. Just want to let you know I'm the best person in the whole wide world. Come to me. I'm going to tell you what you're doing wrong, and you're going to listen to me because I'm the greatest thing ever. Okay. If you don't, Lance, just sit down. If you go with the attitude that you don't do anything wrong, you're not going to help. But if you go with the attitude, say, I got problems too. I'm trying to work through them the best I can, but this is what I see. I see this in their life. I'm going to tell you, one of the hardest jobs of the youth pastor is telling your kids that they're doing wrong and then having those kids go home and the parents say, no, you're fine. Don't watch rated R movies. And the kids come back and say, guess what I watched? I watched Night of the Dead Molestation of Zombies the other night. Rated triple R. A cuss word every time. They go, got to tell all the kids, the youth pastor's going, are you kidding me? And those are our deacon's kids. No, I'm just playing. If Christ wanted to set somebody at liberty, he had to tell them that they were sinners. Please stay with me here. For Christ to set somebody at liberty, he's got to tell them they're a sinner. You listen, until you realize you're lost, you're never going to be found. So you've got to hear the words that tell you you're a sinner. You've got to hear it. But what do you hear when you hear it? Do you hear gracious words or do you hear words of contempt? Well, I never. Are you going to hear gracious words? You're going to hear the words of love that Christ gave you, that he died for you. He wanted to die for you in your condition. His desire behooved Christ to suffer. Why? Because he wanted to die for sinners. See, it's unbelievable to me that Christ would die for me. I'm a mess. Even today, saved, I'm a mess. But Christ still died for me and his blood still takes care of me, even though I'm a mess. But I've got to hear it from Christ when he tells me, you idiot. Why would you say that to that person? Why would you do those things? Why would you say those words? Do I hear them as gracious words? Or do I hear them as horrible words and tell Christ, I'm not going to do it. I don't care what you say. What do you hear when you hear the preaching? What do you hear when you hear a good person trying to help you? What do you hear? Do you know the best help comes from people that are willing to tell you the truth in the right way? In the right way. If you look, whose words do you take? Oh, this is so good. What do you hear? Then whose words do you take when you tell? I want you to look further down. Verse 21, he began to say, and then this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears, and all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? And he said unto them, you will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. And he said, verily, I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. And boy, if that ain't the truth. Whew. But I tell you of a truth. Many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias when the heaven was shut up. 3 years and 6 months when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. Christ is saying, hey, listen, there's a lot of people that died in that famine, and no preacher was sent to them. That's hard to take. Look at this now. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Eliseus the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. Many lepers. We hear about Naaman, but many lepers were there, and only one got cleansed. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. Why would God do that to them? He's God. Watch your mouth. My kids don't tell me anything. I can't understand. We got a kid on the football team. Good Lord. He turned around. His grandpa's taking care of him. God bless you grandparents taking care of babies. You're crazy. I don't want the ones I got. Kidding. His grandpa. Come on, son, get in there. Go, come on, Rob, go, get in there. Doesn't that sound great? Praise the Lord. Go get him. The kid turns around his grandpa and goes, I'm over on the sideline going, get me out of my chair. Give me my paddle. I'll give him another crack. I'm going to tell you right now. That was funny. You'll get it later. I'm going to tell you right now. I'm not going to let no kid talk to me that way. In the school, I have one kid in the 7 years say, no, Mr. Ballard. I'm looking for a diesel horn. Why in the world do kids run our lives? I know this is a side note. Why do your children run your life? Son, do you ever tell your parents no? Yeah, you better not. Do you pay bills? Do you have a job? Do you go out and make money in any way to help support the family? Do you live in a bed? Do you have a blanket, a pillow, the heat on in the winter, cool in the summer? Do you have stuff you eat, right? Praise the Lord. Do you pay for any of that? Ooh, I don't think we ought to tell anybody no. See, we get to this point in our life, well, I want to give all my kids all the stuff I never had. Well, that would be easy. I didn't have anything. I can give them all the nothing in the whole wide world. But at the end of the day, my kids are going to love me. My kids are going to respect me. My kids are going to rise up and call my wife blessed because I've earned it. I'm the parent. I had them. And it's amazing to me that we treat God that way. Oh, preacher, you threw one by me there. I didn't see that coming. I was just about ready to get mad at my kids. But we do the same thing to God. I would not allow my children to say no to me, but how many times have you said no to God? How many times have I said no to God? Hand out a tract to that person. Oh, Jesus. And you, my kids, no. And they go, shouldn't have said that. Why? Because they know punishment's coming. We don't know that punishment's coming. Come on, stick with me, Christian. What do you hear? See, when you say no to Jesus, you expect that Jesus is going to be nice. Huh? No! Lord! Bible says, why call ye me Lord when you do not the things that I say? Oh, I heard the lead balloon hit the floor in many aisles just a second ago. Oh, we love him. We love God, but we won't show up for soul winning. We love God, but we won't hand out a tract. We love God, but we won't come to Sunday school. We love God, but we won't tithe. We love God. You don't love God. You say you love God, but come on, let's be honest. What words are you hearing right now? You want to hear, let's close in prayer. That's what you want to hear. But I'm going to be honest with you. If you'd be honest with yourself, I'm giving you gracious words right now, trying to help your life. But not only did he have gracious words, he had power-filled words. And rose up in verse 29 and thrust him out of the city and led him into the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. We do that so many times. Oh, Jesus, I'm sick and tired of this. I'm going to run you out of the city. Look at this now. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way and came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. I'm going to tell you right now, if you want to find power, there's power right here in this word of God. And what's amazing is we go so feebly minded. We go so silly. We go into the situations of our mouth and say, well, I'm going to go take my own words. You're not bringing the words that have power with them. If you want to have power-filled words that are going to help people's lives and make people right and do things the right way, why don't you ask yourself, hey, Jesus, could you come with me? Hey, Jesus, could you tell me what to say right here? Because I'm a mess. This is my bad habit. I'm just letting you, again, another one of my, you're going to fire me by the end of this thing. I just got a feeling. Understand this. My big problem is I continue to talk. That's what preachers do, right? I mean, that's what, well, we expect it, preacher. Again, we're 10 till 12, and we've been hoping you'd close down for the last 5 minutes or 20. Now, all that being said, my big problem is Jesus will tell you what, the Holy Spirit will move you. He really will. The Holy Spirit will help you with what to say. I believe that with all my heart. He really will. He'll help you with what to say. Our problem is we don't believe that his narrative was good enough, so we continue on. Blah, 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 blah. Lord, Jesus loves you. This is what he wants you to do. Now let me tell you what I think you should do. No, stop here. Stop. Brother Dave, stop. Stop talking. You ever told yourself that? Stop talking. Let God do this. Stop talking. That would bring gracious words. That would bring not only gracious words, but words filled with power. The Word of God can change lives, does change lives. Why would we want to throw our words in there? Huh? Sinful words. I mean, that's what we have to offer. In your flesh dwelleth what? No good thing. I know I keep telling you that, but I'm so sick of coming to this church. You tell me how bad I am. No, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. Why? Because He loves you in that way. Yeah. It's wonder. You don't have to be great to be loved. You just have to be you. Amen. Woohoo! I mean, I'm going to tell you, not everybody loves me. It's okay. God loves me, and that's what matters to me. And He loves me just like I am, not who I tell you I am. Wait a minute. Well, who are you then? Hey, no, turn that on yourself. What words are you hearing right now? Turn it. He loves you who you are, not who you tell people. Oh, that's good preaching if you'll stick with me. He loves you who you are. That's good news. That's good news. You don't have to get baptized to be loved by God. Hey, let me put it further. You don't have to get saved to be loved by God. I want you to. And you need to, but you don't have to get saved to be loved by God. He loves everybody. He loves Charles Manson. He loved Adolf Hitler. That's horrible. Are you kidding me? He loved them. He just can't let them be in heaven because they're sinners that never accepted Him. See, we're all sinners. We don't deserve heaven, but if we accept Him, boy, what gracious words that is. What gracious words that is. What gracious words it is to know that I'm a sinner. What gracious words. You could take that wrong and say, I'm not a sinner. Yes, you are. And it's wonderful that you're a sinner because Christ died for you just like you are. What wonderful words. What power-filled words. God is so good to us that He gives us these wonderful words. They were all amazed, verse 36, and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? Well, what word is that? Look back. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil and cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. That, by the way, that was the devil saying that. The devils were saying, you're the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace. That's a nice way to say shut up. Don't ever say that to your wife, though. She takes that more personal than shut up. Hold thy peace. You deserved it. That word had power. Amen. Praise the Lord. Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and heard him not. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power, he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out. I'm all done with this. Boy, Jesus is good to you. What a word is this? What a word does Christ give us? What a word He uses His people to help. What a word He takes sinful people and makes them ambassadors for Him. What a wonderful word it is to know that we can talk about each other's faults, realizing we're both sinners and trying to help each other to do right and do good. What a word is this that can take people like teenagers? Good Lord, has to be God. Who else could do anything with teenagers? Got to be God. And has them run bus routes. Has them love kids. Teenagers loving kids. Really? Has to be God. Has to be God to make you want to come to church. Has to be God. What a word is this? What a word is this to know that Jesus will keep using you even though you messed up? What a word is this that you could never do enough wrong to make Him not love you? What a word is this that in the midst of your sorrow, in the midst of your trouble, in the midst of your broken heart, there is a word, and what a word it is that can help you get through your tough times. When words of men fail you, what a word is this? When words of men won't take that badness out of your life, what a word is this? Men, don't take your words with you. Take God's word with you. Let Him do the talking. You're just not very good at it. What a word is this? What a word is this? But what word are you hearing? What do you hear? What do you hear? You're going to go home with a thought in your head today. And sometimes people turn you off right when you hit on something that bothers them. Dr. Jim used to say all the time, you throw a brick into a pack of dogs, the one that yelps is probably the one that got hit. And I know I touched on a lot of things today. I'll touch on a lot more if you stick around. But what words do you hear? What do you hear? What do you hear when I say, why are you spending so much time on the computer? What do you hear? Do you hear how dare you? Or do you hear maybe he's telling me truth? What do you hear when I talk about the things that you're doing? And I don't know, hey, listen, I don't know what you're doing right now. I don't have an insight into all your lives. Thank God we still have privacy at least a little bit in this country. Understand this. There's one that does know. And he's got a powerful, authority-filled word for you, and it's gracious. What a word is this? I got to be honest with you throughout my life. And one of the biggest problems in, I believe, everybody's life, I don't think I'm the only one, although you'll tell me I am. My mouth has gotten me into a lot of trouble. Hurt a lot of people. And don't think, by the way, quit using the excuse. Quit giving out excuses. I've used them all. I've just got a bad temper. Let's sew your mouth shut. They needed to hear it. Yeah, but you didn't need to bring your words. You need to bring his. Even right now, even right now, you're thinking of other people. You're not thinking of you. Isn't that weird how your body does that? You just got let in on something, didn't you? 1 second ago, you're not thinking of you. I'm telling you about me, but you're not thinking of you. You're right. That Colton Seaver does gossip a lot. You're right. He ought to quit using his words and start using God's. You see, I'm not only preaching to him. See, we miss it because we don't want to believe that we are inherently not good. But you're missing it. What words do you hear? You're not good. What words do you hear? Do you hear he hates me? No, you're not good. God loves you anyhow. I know it's 12. Let me show you one verse. Can I show you one verse? Turn to Romans chapter 5. We're all done. Ish. Verse 6. I'll end with this. Verse 6. Yes, sir. Romans chapter 5, verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. He died for the ungodly. He didn't die for the righteous people. So if you're righteous, shut up, because he didn't die for you. Thank God none of us are righteous in here. Thank God we're all ungodly, because that means he died for all of us. Amen? Amen. For in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. And there's some people that would. Scarcely, but it does happen. The United States Army and the United States Marine Corps and all the servicemen, they go to die for people, and they would die for each other. Good men dying for each other. They would do that. You soldiers, that you were right next to somebody, a lot of you would take a bullet for the person next to you so they didn't have to take it. But that's scarce. Scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die, and some have. Thank God for all you veterans that offered up your life. Thank God that you offered your life for this man so he could preach the word. Look at this now. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't look down and see a bunch of good people. He looked down and saw a bunch of sinners and gave us a good word, a powerful word, a gracious word. They said, I don't care that you're a sinner. I know that you are. And because you are, it behooves me to suffer and die and shed my blood. Why? Because I love you. Boy, that's a good word. That's a gracious word. And that's a word filled with power. What a word is that? But what word did you hear? When I read that, what did you hear? Did you hear that I'm not a sinner? What did you hear? Did you hear that you were ungodly? Because that's what he tried to tell you. But he did it with power. He did it with grace and love to let you know, yes, you're ungodly, but I love you so much that I'm going to die for you. What a word is this? Dear Lord, I thank you so much for this morning. Oh God, there's nothing. There's nothing that man can add to your word. There's nothing. Lord God, your word is perfect. I'm so thankful for it. Lord, I'm so thankful that you love me. I don't understand it. I really don't. But I sure am glad that you do. I've got so many faults. I've got so many problems. I've got so many issues. But Lord, you're the answer for every one of them. Lord, I'm thankful for that. Lord, help me as a person, as a preacher, as a Christian. Help me to deal with others in a better way. Help me to take heed to what I said today, what you said through me. Help me to hear. Help me to hear. Help me to hear so I can deal better. Willing to tell the truth, but willing to tell it in the right way, with your authority, your power, and your grace. Lord God, I thank you. I thank you that you love me. I thank you that you love these folks that are here today, and I hope and pray that the visitors know that you love them. Because, Lord God, you're their answer. You're the answer for every person in this room today. You're the answer for every person on this planet today. Lord, we need you. Let us hear that word, that gracious word, that powerful word, that authority-filled word, that word that's filled with love. Let us hear that word, because what a word is this. Lord, please help us today. I pray this in Jesus' name. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around. How many can say that they know that they know that they know, 100% sure that if they died right now that they would go to heaven? How many could be sure you know that you've gotten saved? You know that you asked the Lord to say, put your hand up real big and tall for me. I see all those hands. Thank you so much. You may put them down. It's not for a testimony to me. I'm not going to call on you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I will not come to you. I promise you this. But know this, that Jesus has come to you today. Not because of this old sinner, but because his word is gracious and his word is powerful. And the Bible says, his word says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. There are no hoops to jump through here. You just have to believe in the Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. That's a powerful word. That's a gracious word.